John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 9. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. The Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, reading down through verse number 9. And here, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible begins by saying this in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Father, again, thank you for what we have heard thus far in our service this morning, our privilege and our ability to worship you in singing, to worship you in giving, to worship you in praying, to worship you in our fellowship with one another as fellow believers. And Father, now we come time to where we need to receive. God, we need your word to work in and through us here this morning. We need it, God, to enlighten us. We need it to touch our life, to brighten our path. God, I pray as we consider the light of the world here this morning that, Father, you would use your word to speak to each and every heart. God, take your holy flashlight and find the shadows that are in our life and in our hearts. God, help us to walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another. Father, I pray most of all, should there be one today that is without the Lord Jesus Christ, God, they're in darkness even as they sit in the light of this auditorium here this morning. And I pray, God, you'd help them to recognize and realize the darkness that they're in, the blindness that has overcome them. And Father, through the preaching of your word, that your Holy Spirit would use it to touch their heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for what you've done in the lives of us that are saved, how you've brought us from darkness to light. And we pray, Father, you do that same operation today of that one that needs it most. Bless your word to each and every heart. We pray you'd challenge us today in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. On two different occasions here in the Gospel of John, Jesus made the statement, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 1, the verses we read this morning, we're introduced to that light. Notice, if you would, verse number 5, "And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The light shineth in darkness. I want you to note that is the radiation. The radiation, the light shines in darkness. When light comes, darkness disappears. You can go into a room and shut the door behind you, a small room with no light, and shut that door behind you and be completely in the dark where you can put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see it. But the minute you hit that switch, the minute light comes on, everything's illuminated and the darkness has to flee. When light is around, darkness has to flee. That's a wonderful principle from the Word of God. And a wonderful principle in those of us that are called by Bible definition the children of light. In them there is no darkness at all. So we find in verse 5 the radiation of the light. When light comes, darkness flees. Not only that, we see at the end of verse 5 the reaction to that light. Now this is not the sermon, this is the introduction. But we see the reaction in verse number 5. "And the darkness comprehended it not." The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There are a lot of folks today that are in the darkness of the intellectual mind, and they can't comprehend the light. Their thinking, their education maybe, whatever it is, they think they're so smart, they have no need for God. And you know what the problem is? They're blind. They cannot see. The darkness does not comprehend the light. There's the darkness of the philosophical mind. Aristotle and Socrates began that mess many years ago. Came out with all these supposedly wise sayings, every one of them which didn't include God. In an age and a time where all wisdom included God, they came out in contradiction to that, and they're worshipped as heroes by philosophy today. And all of their statements and all of their creeds and all of their conduct and everything they did, they might have said some things that were profound, but all of them omitted God. And the philosophical mind today is just like that. We've got solutions to every problem, but every problem, our solution never includes God. Why is that? Because there's darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There's the darkness of the carnal mind. Those that are pursuing lives of pleasure, lives of sin, lives of wickedness, lives contrary to the direction of God. And their minds just don't get. You and I witness to them. We give them gospel tracts. We invite them to church. And their minds are so ungodly and so wicked and carnal that they can't even see the light. The darkness shines and the light shines and the darkness comprehends it not. That's the best explanation for what we see going on in the world today. The solutions of politics and the solutions of economics, all with plans and policies that forget God. The darkness of the carnal mind, and then there's the darkness of the scientific mind. Those that are so involved in the complexities of where life came from, and yet when it comes to complexities, they have one simple answer, a big bang. It can't be an intelligent designer that formed and made and created everything, which makes common sense. For you and I that are saved and believe the Bible, and even for a lot of unsaved people that still know the foolishness of evolution, we look at those that believe it and we think, you know, how can you be so smart and yet so dumb at the same time? How can you believe that all this just happened by chance, the human body and the intricacies of it, the universe and the galaxies? How can you not believe in it? It's common sense. You say, well, how come those with the scientific mind don't buy it? Because the light shone in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. There's the radiation of the light. And then there's that reaction to the light. The darkness comprehended it. Notice that word is in verse number 5. And the darkness comprehended it not. You might want to make a note of that word, comprehended. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. There's the radiation of the light. There's the reaction of the light. Why are all these minds blinded? Well, the Bible simply said, their minds are blinded. The light is off. You remember the old, you've got to be a little bit older, but you remember the Ford commercials from many, many years ago, probably 40, 50 years ago? Ford has a better idea, and it was a little light bulb that kind of popped on above the guy's head. There's a lot of folks in the world today that are in spiritual darkness. Their minds are blinded. They need the light to be turned on. There's radiation. There's reaction. Then look, notice, if you would, over at John chapter 3. The light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. And that lack of comprehension leads to condemnation. That's what we find in John chapter 3 and verse number 19. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, all right? The problem in chapter 1 is comprehension. The problem with the light in chapter 3 is condemnation. The radiation and the reaction in chapter 1 leads to rejection in chapter 3, rejecting the light. At first, the darkness comprehended it not. Now it's not that it doesn't comprehend it. It rejects it. Verse number 19 of John 3, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3 and verse number 19, it gives us an idea of that condemnation. God's favor is shown that light is come into the world. Light is come into the world. Back in John chapter 1, verse 9, we read it in the introduction. And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I've said this many times, I will contend that there is no such thing as the heathen that's never heard. You say, what about that fella in deep, darkest Africa? What about that person in ages past with no newspaper, telephone, telegraph, anything, and they were raised in a country where a missionary never went? The Bible assures us in John chapter 1, verse 9, that light that shines has shined in every man that's ever existed. Now, it might not be the light of Scripture. They might not ever have a Bible, but there is the light of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God has made himself known through creation to that person that lives remote from anyone else. Through conscience, the Bible says that we have the law of God written on our hearts. And everyone, if they look inside of their heart, look for it, look down there, they will find a recognition of God. They will acknowledge that there's a God. That's why the Bible says twice, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because God's written it in our conscience. That's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So why do men reject it? Well, the Bible says men love darkness. God's favor, light, has come into the world. But man's fondness is that men love darkness rather than light. Why doesn't that lost sinner get, why doesn't he get saved? Well, because he doesn't understand. No, he comprehends. He's just living under condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. You know what people say when you get saved? Well, I don't want to have to live my life that way. I don't want to have to give up the things that I like. You know what they're saying? I love darkness rather than light. So there's the favor, the fondness, and then the foulness in verse number 20, because their deeds were evil. That's the foulness of man. Why does man reject the light? Because their deeds are evil. The Bible is very blunt, isn't it? The Bible doesn't take the psychologist round the bush route and try to soothe our conscience or ease things. The Bible just comes out and puts it right out where it is. That's why many times the unregenerate, the unsaved man, and many times Christians don't like the preaching of the Word of God, because the Word of God is blunt. It's not worried about your emotional state. It's not worried about your psychological condition. It simply tells you men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Before you got saved, your deeds were evil. And you got saved when you came to the light. The light is Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Now that you and I are saved, we walk in light instead of darkness. And Christianity is defined by light. If we attempt to walk in the dark, if we attempt to go into the shadows of our faith and live a life where darkness is involved, we've lost our testimony to the world, because the world is looking for light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there's the rejection of the light. Notice in verse 20. That rejection leads to animosity. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. See, it's not just that they rejected it. And then it's not just that they were fond of their sin and their foulness, but the Bible goes on to describe the reason for that is, and the result of that is that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You know, there are folks today that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening, I don't know, some sports clip of some new talk show thing out there, and they blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Why his name? Out of all the names of all the peoples for all of time, why did they have to pick that one name? And the Bible tells us because they hate the light. Again, we want to soften the blow and just say, well, they just don't understand. Yeah, they don't comprehend. I understand it. But they're under condemnation. And the Bible says they do it because they hate evil. And it says in verse number 20, neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. They have animosity and avoidance of the light. Talking with somebody yesterday, and they were talking about walking at the armory, and they said, well, the people there don't like to walk with so-and-so because all he does is talk about religion. You know what that is? That's avoidance of the light. They don't want to be exposed to the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. So the obvious thing is to despise the light and hate the light and reject the light. But you know, the light has never hurt anybody. Light doesn't harm. Darkness harms. Darkness is the trouble. You read the police reports in the Daily Jeffersonian week after week, and you know what? Daytime things, or maybe car accidents, this or that, but all the serious crimes usually take place after nightfall. When people don't belong out there, how many times is the police called at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 1 in the morning? Well, that's nighttime. That's where all the trouble is. It's not in the daytime. The lights never hurt anybody. In fact, the arrival of light has done some wonderful, magnificent, and glorious things. I want to show you three times in the Bible when light showed up. And I want you to see what happens when light shows up. Take your Bible, if you would. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. You saw that coming, didn't you? Genesis chapter 1. And obviously, if we're going to Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to introduce you to the first time that light shows up in Scripture. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3 in the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." This is the first time light shows up in Scripture. And it drives away darkness. The Bible tells us in verse number 2 that darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was a lack of comprehension. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't understand anything. There was no comprehension because darkness was on the face of the deep. And so God, to fix the lack of comprehension, the Bible said, God said, let there be light. I like it when it says in verse 3, "And God said." 10 times in chapter 1 of Genesis, the Bible says, "And God said." We can call those the first 10 commandments. God said, let there be light, command, and there was light. On each of the days, "and God said," "and God said," and every time, not one of God's original 10 commandments were ever broken. They still carry through today, the original creation. Now, he gave another set of 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Not one of those has ever been kept. But here in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. And when God speaks and when God says it, the light came and darkness had to flee. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Christian, light and darkness cannot coexist. In your life, if you're a child of light, we're going to get to that later, light and darkness cannot coexist. One has to overcome the other. Why did God dispel the darkness in Genesis chapter 1? Well, because there cannot be life without light. Why did God dispel the darkness? Well, not just because darkness is upon the face of the deep, but God, down in verse number 11, God is going to say, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb, the plants, yielding seed, and the fruit tree, yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. God is shortly after going to make trees and plants and grass, vegetation. Those things are not going to be able to thrive or exist or grow or even exist without light. If darkness stayed upon the face of the deep in verse number 1, and God created those things in verse number 11, they would die. God didn't make the sun till the next day, but he made light before that. Where did it come from? Just the light of his countenance. But there had to be light before there could be life. There had to be light before there could be trees and grass and the vegetation. Because there has to be light for there to be life. Photosynthesis, all of the scientific information we get about plant life and all that kind of stuff is dependent on light. There can be no life without light. What wonderful Bible principles back in the book of Genesis. There cannot be life without light. You want life, you need Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So God dispels the darkness so the plants can live. God dispels darkness so that you can live. Not just live a life in this world and society, but live a life for God. Live a life that's pleasing to him. And live a life that's easier on you. You know, sin is hard on people. It's hard on individuals. It's hard on spouses. It's hard on children. It's hard on families. Sin is a bad taskmaster. And when the light comes in, it makes life. And Jesus said, life more abundant. Do you want life? You want out of the darkness of sin? You want out of the darkness of self-pity and self-pleasure? You want out of the darkness of this society and this world? Every thing we see on television and every article we read in magazines or newspapers just illuminates the darkness of this world. They're speeding on in a direction that is going contrary to God, and they don't even recognize it. They're not comprehending the light. But if you want light, if you want life, you know where to find it. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, when he said, I am the light of the world, he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you and I walking in the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. You need not turn there, but 1 John, not Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, God is light and in Him is no darkness. And I like the last two words, at all. In Him is light. God is light and in Him is no darkness. It could have ended right there, but it says, is no darkness at all. There's no darkness of God. No shadow of turning, the Bible tells us. God is light. And when light shows up, it dispels darkness. Notice, if you would, over in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and I'm pretty confident in studying that this is the second time that supernatural light shows up. Between Genesis 1 and Exodus chapter 13, the word light appears a couple of different times. But it talks about the morning light, the next daytime, or the day of a lamp someone put in the house. But supernatural light like that in Genesis chapter 1 that dispelled darkness. The next time a supernatural light from heaven shows up is in Exodus chapter 13. Look, if you would, in Exodus 13, down at the end of the chapter, look at verse number 21. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. On this second occasion where supernatural light shows up, we see the children of Israel are departing from Egypt. They've been in bondage for 400 years. And now God is leading them out. And you know the plagues that God put upon Egypt and its people. And now they're for the first time in 400 years free. But having been in slavery 400 years, they don't know anything outside of Egypt. I go back home to the Detroit area. And I met a friend the other day that I graduated from high school with. We had lunch dinner at Theo's restaurant the other day. And he was talking about back home. He says, well, you know, up there by Woodward and this and Woodward and that, and Brother Gary, you might know those streets. He said, up there, and I said, I left home when I was 17 years old. I don't know any of those streets. I don't remember all those. I mean, I got my license at 16, so I know how to drive around the block. But all those streets 10 miles away from town, I left when I was 17, I don't know those things. The children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. They knew nothing outside the boundaries of Egypt. And God says, now I'm going to lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. If God doesn't direct them and guide them to get them there, they're not going to get there on their own. They don't have a map. They can't Google it. They don't have a GPS. God's going to have to direct them from the land of Egypt to this land flowing with milk and honey. How are they going to get there? God says in verse 21, here's what I'll do. I'll give you a cloud by day. Now, may I suggest that a cloud by day is not really supernatural? Now, it's supernatural in the fact that God's going to use that cloud to direct them to that land, but I can go outside just about any time of any day and find a cloud up there in the sky. But he said, I'll lead you by day by a cloud and at night by a pillar of fire. Now, that's supernatural. Because I can't remember any occasion I walked out at nighttime and looked up at the sky and saw fire up there. So the fire at night is a supernatural appearance of light. And verse 21 said, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. In Genesis chapter 1, when light shows up, it dispels darkness. Here in Exodus chapter 13, when light shows up, it gives guidance. The children of Israel would have no idea what direction to go. Do we go north, south, east, or what? East? How do you say that? North, south, east, or west? What direction do we go? What highway do we take? What road do we go across? You know what happened to them is shortly after they left out, they found themselves against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his army came riding out of Egypt and encompassed the children of Israel and surrounded them. And Pharaoh said, he's left himself with nowhere to go. It's us on one side and the Red Sea on the other. It appeared that God had deserted them. They'd taken a wrong turn, gone the wrong direction. But as you know the story, God had Moses reach out his rod and touch the sea, and the waters parted, and they went across on dry ground. You and I need God's guidance. There's a lot of times the enemy's on one side and an obstacle's on the other, and we got no idea where we're going to go. or how we're going to get there, or how we're going to be delivered, or how we're going to face the situation or the circumstance that's before us. We need God's light to guide us. Take your Bible and turn, if you would. We won't be back to Exodus, but we're going to continue in that story. But look at Psalm chapter 119, and I know you know the verse, but I want you to see it in Scripture. Psalm 119. And those of you that know pretty much about your Bible know that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And Psalm 119, every verse, 172 verses, every verse but three, if my memory serves me correct, every verse but three of the 172 have some reference to the Bible itself. Scripture, commandments, statutes, word. And in Psalm 119 and verse 105, a very familiar verse occurs. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When supernatural light shows up, and that's, folks, that's what this is right there. This is supernatural. This is not man-made. Now, man might have made the paper, and man might have made the ink, and man might have made the leather that makes the cover, but those words are inspired of God. They're supernatural. No group of 40 men living 1,500 years apart at times from each other on different continents could have all put together a book that turned out like this one without it being supernatural. You can tell the intellectual mind, those that are in darkness, or again, that scientific mind, you can tell them that the proof that they're in darkness is when they believe that that book is nothing more than man-made. Even archaeologists today, secular archaeologists, have gotten enough sense to go back to the Bible because they realize the Bible is accurate in its history of things written long ago. Archaeologists at one time disbelieved the Bible and attempted to disprove the Bible have found it to be accurate and right every single time. And the only explanation for that is not the wisdom of God, of man, but the supernatural work of God. That book right there is supernatural. It's a supernatural light, and it gives guidance. How should I live my life? What does God want me to do? What direction should I go? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Back there in Exodus chapter 13, look again if you would, if you didn't lose your place. I told you not to, so if you did, it's your fault. And I lost it, so whose fault is that? Exodus chapter 13, look back in verse 17. Exodus 13 and verse 17, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines." You know what that supernatural light will do? It'll tell you what way not to go. Folks look at the Bible and they read those thou shalt nots and they think, oh, God's being restrictive. No, God's being protective. He said in verse 17, "God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt." You know what God knew? It was not good for the children of Israel coming right out of Egypt to go right into the land of the Philistines. Because when they did, when they saw that enemy, and here's people that for 400 years had no swords, had no axes, had no weapons of war. And now 400 generations, what, four generations of people are going out. They're as pacifist as you could find. There's not a fighter among them. And God said, if they go out and the first thing they do is see these Philistines, these big, rough, Goliath-type Philistines with their coats of armor and their shields and their swords, if that's the first thing they see, they're going to hightail it back to Egypt. So God gave them direction and told them what way not to go. God wants to give you and I direction and tell us what way not to go. Why? For our protection. For our benefit. For our correction. But the carnal Christian says, I don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want God telling me how to live my life. All right, live it yourself. You'll run into the Philistines. You'll go into the wrong land. You'll be destroyed in your spiritual life. Your light will be put out. God gives us supernatural light to show us what way not to go. But then he says in verse 18 of Exodus 13, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. God, by his supernatural light, showed them what way not to go, and he showed them what way to go. You and I have the supernatural light of God's Word. We need that light. We need to be led by it. We need to be shown the right direction. We're not going to take time to turn over to the Gospel of Luke, but another example of this light that gives guidance was the wise men that followed the star to where the baby Jesus laid. Now, a star is not naturally supernatural because there are many stars in the sky, but that one was supernatural because it gave guidance to the men that were seeking Jesus Christ. You know, you have a lost loved one, a lost friend, a lost co-worker, a lost fellow student, whatever it might be, a lost neighbor. You say, how can I get them to the light? Let them follow the supernatural light. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Bible. You say, well, they've got this argument and that. You'll never out-argue them. You'll never win someone to Christ by debating them, because you'll win the debate, but you'll lose the argument. The best thing to do is give them the Word of God. Whatever it is they say, well, I don't know all about that, but I just simply know this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's one verse, John 3:16. Very easy to memorize and remember. And then when they come out, yeah, but this and yeah, but that, say, I don't know all about that, but I know this, that God so loved the world. You know, they might say, stop saying that. They might get frustrated with that. But you know what? That word, that supernatural ability of God's Word will penetrate their heart. And if anything's going to give them guidance to the light of the world, it's going to be that supernatural light. We need that light to guide us because we need to be able to see. You can't walk in darkness. Look over at John chapter 12, the Gospel of John, back to where we started. We won't be back to Exodus, so you can let that one drop. But look at John chapter 12. We need that light for guidance so that we can see. Exodus chapter 13, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, John chapter 12. I'll get it right. John chapter 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. We all can think of examples and times in our life where we tried to walk where there was no light in the house, and you stepped on the kids' toys. You bumped your toe on the corner of the bedpost. All those bad things happen when we try to walk around in the darkness. When we walk in darkness, it's not safe. We can't see. And so Jesus says, walk in the light, because it dispels darkness and it gives guidance. Look over back just a few verses to John chapter 11 and look at verse number 9. John chapter 11 and verse number 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. See, if you walk in the light, you don't stumble. If you walk in the light, you don't bump into things because you can see them. Verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Now, you know what? We know that's not just talking about physically walking through a room, because the end of verse 10 says there is no light in him. He's giving a spiritual principle that if we walk in the light, it gives us guidance. It protects us from the things that would harm us, and it leads us into the direction of the things that would bless and benefit us. But we've got to walk in the light. The light dispels darkness. The light gives guidance. Then thirdly and lastly, look at The book of Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read the account here that you're familiar with, but I want to read it just so you get the setting of it. The book of Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And Saul, who we know later as the Apostle Paul, this is before his salvation, his conversion. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is, those Christians, those followers of Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. See, Saul was a bounty hunter. He worked for the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. He worked for the Jewish leaders. And his mission and his job was to find those Christians, those following Christ, and bring them back bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light. He has no chance. He's got no chance. He's riding on that donkey going to Damascus with letters in his hands to go catch Christians and throw them in prison. And all of a sudden, a supernatural light that dispels darkness. A supernatural light that gives guidance all of a sudden. And a light shone from heaven. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Verse 5. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When light shows up, it dispels darkness. When light shows up, it gives guidance. When light shows up, it remakes a man. Saul was never the same after he saw that light. We read two different times in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26 that Paul recounts this salvation experience over again for us. And here he said, and here it says, round about him a light from heaven. In Acts chapter 22, when he's recounting this story again, he calls it a great light. In Acts 26, he says, a light exceeding the light of the sun. Now, Paul wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't a fisherman. So his story's not getting bigger every time he tells it. But he goes from light to great light to light exceeding the light, the brightness of the sun, because this is a supernatural light that made a change in his life. This is Saul, the persecutor of the church. He himself in Galatians says, I was before a persecutor and a blasphemer. One that hated Christianity and hated this man called Jesus, though he'd never met him, hated him with every fiber of his being, thought that he was an enemy to the law of Moses, thought he was an enemy to the religion of the chosen people of God. And as a member of that Pharisaical group, Paul was determined to stomp out that cult. And then that day, on the road to Damascus, that light shined from heaven and knocked him off the back of that donkey right down to the ground. Put him blind for 3 days, if you read the rest of the story. And when that light showed up, when he got up off his feet, he was a different man. Can I tell you that when light shows up, it remakes a man, or, can we put that, woman. We use the man in a generic term, like mankind. When that light shows up, it makes a change in someone's life. We see folks, we hear folks that profess faith in Christ. We witness to them, we talk to them, and they say, yes, I'm a believer, I know I'm a sinner, I want to trust Christ, and we lead them through the sinner's prayer, and they ask Christ into their heart, hopefully they do, but then we watch and we don't see any difference in the life. It continues in the ways of darkness. It continues in the path of shadows. But the Bible clearly explains to us that when we walk in the light, as He is in the light, in Him is no darkness at all. And when Saul experienced the changing light of God, it made him a different person. In 1 Peter, you don't need to turn there again for time's sake, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are called several times in the Bible the children of light. Why? Because light has come in. And when light comes in, darkness is expelled. When light comes in, guidance is given. When light comes in, there's a change in everything. Back there in Genesis chapter 1, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And when light revealed the chaos of the darkness, God said, all right, let's make this, let's make this, let's make this, let's make that. When that darkness, when that light exposed the darkness, God was able to remake something beautiful and perfect in the world and the creation that He made. When light comes into the life of a man or a woman, then God is able one step at a time to make beautiful and wonderful things out of that life that was once encompassed and surrounded in darkness. When darkness comes, it remakes a man. See, Christianity is simply this, following the light. If we can simplify it and bring it down to its basic element, Christianity is simply following the light. It's not a codes of yes and no. It's not a codes of thou shalt not and thou shalt. It's simply following the light. And as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else is going to come into play and be exactly what it should be. When Paul saw that light, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus Christ said, I am the light. In John chapter 12, verse 46, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The wonderful thing now about you and I that have experienced coming to the light is now we become the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he said, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. But now he's departed, and then what you know what he told his disciples? Now ye are the light of the world. Everything we said about light should now be a result of us. Our lives ought to dispel darkness. Our lives ought to give guidance. Our lives ought to be able to remake other men by having them put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We're to be the light of this world. There's no room for shadows. There's no room for shade. We can't say, no, we'll allow this sin or we'll allow this fault or we'll allow this mistake to stay in our life. No, now we're to be the light, and in them is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Are you walking in the light today? Do you know the light of Jesus Christ? Has it dispelled the darkness from your life? Has that light given you guidance? Has that light remade you? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Nobody else can do that. Nothing else can do that. Religion, man-made religion can't do that. It can't dispel darkness. It can't give guidance. It can't remake a man. Only the light of Jesus Christ can do those things. Have you put your faith and trust? Have you come to Jesus Christ, the light of the world? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.